You're listening to WVUA 90.7 The Capstone. This is Growing Through It, and I'm Sarah Potter, and I'll be your host for the hour. I'm going to go ahead and jump right into today's episode because I just want to rip the Band-Aid off. I don't want to sugarcoat anything. Today, we'll be talking about the Me Too movement, what is toxic masculinity, and we're also going to touch on the subject of sexual assault and harassment as well. 2 days ago, like, I was prepared to come in and sit down and, like, you know, give this whole like synopsis of what I thought my show was going to be about. But, you know, I just felt like this is a bigger calling. Like, this is something that's way more important than what my show is. So we're going to talk about that today. Now, Growing Through It is not a biased show. We do not focus on a particular race or gender. We focus on current events, experience, and feelings. So that's how I aim to connect with you guys and also my listeners. So I have two guests with me today who I like to give a very warm welcome to. And thank you guys for being my very first guest
thank
on my
for
show.
Thank you.
Go ahead and introduce you guys. I'm sorry. Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Well, my name is Deja Greer. I'm a junior here at the university. And I'm just glad to be able to be a part of this monumental day in Sarah's life.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
Yeah. I'm Clanisha Munford, and I'm a senior at the University of Alabama. And I'm so excited to be here. Sarah has been planning this for a super long time, and I'm glad that I got to see it, you know, bloom into something so great. So
I'm just glad that y'all know how much work I
right.
put into
yes.
this. I'm glad y'all know. So, okay, so the first thing I want to discuss today is kind of what sparked the whole idea for this episode. There's this viral video that's been floating around on, like, you know, Twitter and Facebook. I don't want to describe the details of the video because it was extremely graphic, but I will say that for the people who haven't seen the video, it was taken on Facebook Live. Now, she was out in public during the time, actually, at an Atlanta nightclub. And I don't know if you guys have been to the nightclub, but mm-hmm. I've been to the nightclub multiple times. So this kind of, like, hit home for me, being that I'm from Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I was kind of like, whoa, like, wait a minute. Like, I've been in this exact spot.
Right.
So if you haven't been to opera, like, you know what it looks like. They have, like, this, they have these women hanging from the ceiling doing, like, these acrobat tricks. It's wild. It's yeah. wild in there. It's wild in there. So they have, like, these stripper poles in the middle of the floor. They also have this stage where the DJ booth is. And as y'all know, like, they have, like, that famous twerk contest. That's also going to come up later on because it makes a point. Mm. Remember that they have this DJ stage, okay, where they have this twerk contest because it's going to come up later. All and right. I'm going to ask you guys about it. So, yeah, it's a pretty distinctive club. It was clear in the video that the lady was clearly under the influence of something. Mm-hmm. And whether it was alcohol or some other drug, like, it was just super apparent in the video. And, of course, to make matters worse, like, the guy actually shows his face in the video. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, you can kind of tell, like, what's going to happen as you're watching the video. Mm-hmm. But you still don't. It's kind of, like, super hard to watch as it, like, unfolds. You guys have seen the video, right?
I've seen the video, but it was I was too uncomfortable watching the full thing. Mm-hmm, but I did get to the part where she got assaulted, and I didn't really need to see anything right. after that because the fact that it even got to that point was enough for me to, like, you know, see with my own eyes. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it was very tough to watch. But, yeah, I did not finish the video and did not retweet or anything because, you know, I didn't like the fact that the video even got posted because we're exploiting this young lady. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a good point you brought up about, like, the exploitation mm-hmm. of her. You know, kind of more so social media is, you know, is based on viral videos and things that are happening now, but they don't take into account that this is actually somebody's life that's mm-hmm. going to be affected, and that's going to be something that's going to, like, follow her throughout the rest of her life.
Right.
So people are so quick to retweet and to like things, but don't really do anything to bring any, like, meaningful attention to it or to be helpful in stopping this from happening in right. the future. So that was a good point, I feel like.
Yeah, because I know personally, I'm somebody who easily gets embarrassed off little things. Like, mm-hmm. if you see me trip off my Uggs, mm-hmm. yeah. I'm going to be embarrassed. Right. So I would be extremely, like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it would send me, like, kind of right. over the deep end for that to happen to me on Facebook Live.
Right.
Yeah. And on top of that, for people to just be sharing it. And then it really sparked this entire debate, like, about things that women should do, mm-hmm. or not even just women, things that, I'm sorry, what's the word? Victims, people mm-hmm. that victims of sexual assault and sexual harassment should do, like the part that they play in it.
Yeah.
And that was mm-hmm. my whole thing that I kind of like just was like, whoa, like we need to take a couple steps right. back here. Like, it's not about the victim. Like, right. So,
and that's kind of why most victims are afraid to come out and share their stories, because people are like, oh, well, you did this, you knew this. No, that doesn't justify the perpetrator doing what they did because you had on a short dress or whatever. No.
Exactly. Like, my clothes does not speak for me. My body doesn't speak for me. My voice does. So, like, my clothes can't tell you, yes, it's okay for you to assault me, or it's... They're not telling me, yes, that I want this to happen. Like, if I verbally am telling you no, like, no means no. Stop means stop, you know?
So, yeah, men and women on social media have been, like, having this debate all weekend. So, I kind of wanted to bring you guys in so we could have our own little, like, girl talk debate about it. So, one of the many things I want to talk about is... What do you guys actually think consent is? Like, what is your perception of consent? Like, I personally think consent is a yes or no type of thing. Mm-hmm. But I know there people like to give, like, scenarios and situations where consent is, received or perceived differently. Mm-hmm. So what are you guys, like, opinions about
what consent
is? I
feel like there are no blurred lines when it comes to consent. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes people like to interpret things the way that they want to see it. But it's clear with women, we're pretty much straightforward most of the time. And if we are willingly consenting to something, you will know. And if you kind of are apprehensive about it, it's because, like, you know, you're getting the vibe that, no, this is not something that she wants to do. So let me chill. You should not, oh, I'm going to try to get her to change her mind. No, that's pressuring.
That is,
you know? Yeah. So consent is what you think it is. Yes, I want to do this, or no, I don't want to do this. So once you get that signal and that message, you need to act accordingly. So.
Right. So, touch off what Deja was saying, like, consent to me means if you're, like, you know, able to say no, no means no. If you're passed out drunk or, you know, passed out in general, like, that means no.
Right.
You cannot, you know, legally and morally, you shouldn't try to have, you know, sex with this person. Turning your back on that person, if, you know, they ask you for it, you, like, turn around because you and walk off.
Ignore
them. That
I'm
means
good
no.
At ignoring people.
Like, and I don't really understand. It's kind of, you know, very conflicting because, you know, in relationships,
We want men to chase us. On the
line, but sometimes
you want, you want your man to kind of, like,
put forth effort.
Yeah, put effort. That's the thing.
Don't stalk me.
But, yeah. Right.
Sometimes men get effort and being, like,
over aggressive.
Yeah, aggressive, right. Confused. So.
Right.
Even women too. I know that there's some situations like dudes will try to tell us subtly, like, hey, I don't want to, like, get into this with you. And women are kind of like, no, I have this whole dream set out for us. So you need to come on, get with the plan.
Right.
So, like, no, I know. Like,
exactly. So, yeah, it can be very conflicting because I feel like if you're, like, in a relationship with somebody, because, you know, there is a such thing as rape in relationships and, like, marriage and stuff, I feel like y'all should that couple should establish, like, a safe word or, like, just talk about consent because, you know, there's been times, you know, I know people whose boyfriend, like, if they wanted to, you know, go that route and their boyfriend's like, I don't feel like it. Mm-hmm. And they get upset. And I'm just like, I mean, you can be upset, but, like, if he say he don't feel like it,
he just don't feel like it.
And, you know, if you try to, you know, coerce him or pressure him into doing it, like, that's a form of rape. So, you know.
Yeah. I just feel like, you know, I'm a prideful person. If somebody tells me no, or I see that they're not interested, like, you know, I'm like, all right, like, you know what I'm saying? On to the next. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not about to, it's just too many people, like, in the club. I was just talking about this in the car with you earlier, Deja. Like, if there's too many women too many people that go to the club that are willing to go home with somebody for you to date rape or drug somebody so they can go home with you. Like, it's too many. Like, as long as you just keep asking around, keep flirting, keep trying to figure out, like, who's down and who's not, like, you know what I'm saying? You'll figure out. Yeah. Like, you don't have to go the route of rape. Like, I just don't see, like, what transpires in a rapist's head as he's getting ready to, yeah. like, you know, rape somebody. Yeah. Like, I just...
No other woman that you can go to get this from. Right. You have to try to rape this one woman.
Yeah, like what's so special? Not saying, like, what's so special about her, but it's like, what pressure. Makes that person, like, right. it? Like, you know what I'm saying?
I was talking to a psychologist once, and he was just telling me that... well, like, we didn't really get on the topic of women as rapists, but we're talking about, like, men as rapists. And he was just saying, too, like, men normally go for the women that seem the most vulnerable. That seems like they can be the easiest to persuade or, like, take home. Or that, you know, just show signs of weakness. And then he was also saying, too, like, the reason, like, because you got men out here like R. Kelly or like Harvey Weinstein, you know, that can that has money, that has some, you know, type of power yeah. because they have money. Fame. But they choose, you know, still sexually assault women. And he was just saying because, like, of course, these men can basically they can have whoever they want, but they can, you know, they can have women. But they choose to, you know,
manipulate people.
Women and control women because it gives them a sense of power.
Yeah.
So,
like, even with the Harvey Weinstein, like, that was the very first time that I had heard of the Me Too movement after I listened to the Harvey Weinstein case. Mm-hmm. Like, I actually read those, like, tales from those women. Mm-hmm. And that stuff was sick.
Yeah.
Like, he literally was, I guess, like, this super, I don't know his exact title in Hollywood, but I guess he was, like, this
director
Weinstein. I'm sorry. He was this huge like executive producer or something like that. Regardless, he was a big guy behind movies. Like, so I guess like he would invite women to have like these meetings at his house, which is already like red flag number one. Anybody who's a professional and wants to conduct business, it shouldn't be conducting business in like hotel rooms and at personal houses.
Right.
Like, but he would even go to like places like one of the ladies like used to dance. He went to the dance studio one time, caught her at the dance studio. Like, he was just really an aggressive guy. So he would just go to these women who wanted to be aspiring actors, aspiring models, stuff like that. And kind of like, you know, feed off that vulnerability. Like, because they like, okay, this is Harvey Weinstein. Like, you know,
right.
If I get in good with him, like, you know, I'm kind of basically guaranteed a spot in an upcoming role of a right. movie. Mm-hmm. And that vulnerability I see a lot in a lot of workplaces, not even just in like entertainment industry. Like, for example, like in businesses, you might be the only woman in a conference room.
Right.
You know? And I feel like sometimes even me just being the only woman sometimes in my class, like I'm overshadowed or I'm overtalked or my ideas. I say one thing and they want to construe it as, oh, well, I think what she meant to say is.
Yeah.
So I feel like that kind of like feeds into like the toxic masculinity also as well. Because it's like women are strong enough to stand up for themselves and say what they mean. It's just why, not even just women, but people are strong enough to stand up for themselves and say what they mean. Mm. But predators and people who want to manipulate other people will always try and misconstrue what you're saying on purpose to make it sound like you're trying to say something else to go with what that fits their narrative.
Right. I like that you touched on that. Mm. Because, you know, to piggyback off what you were saying about how, you know, might be the only person, your only type of person in your place. Like, me being a black woman at UA, a lot of times I'm the only black woman in my class or the only woman in my class. And so that could be very intimidating because especially, like, you know, being a, even then, like, you know, most of the time it'll probably be, like, you know, a lot of white men and I'm the only black woman in that course or, like, I'm the only black woman in general, and there's other black men there and stuff. I sometimes get, like, intimidated because I'm like, should I, you know,
speak up
or participate in class? And then, no, don't let it be a class where, like, you know, you want to debate and stuff. Oftentimes, I feel like they're not going to pay attention to what I'm saying or not relate because there has been a time my freshman year I was trying to say something, but I couldn't figure out how to say it. But I finally figured it out, and then someone, you know, was like, are you trying to say? And I'm like, no, I'm not trying to say that. I said what I said.
Basically, I said what I said. That's my move all year. I said what I said.
Right. So, yeah.
Well, I kind of also want to touch on this topic that has been kind of circulating around social media within pretty much the Tuscaloosa community. It was a post basically suggesting that the way a woman dresses represents the way or the right of a man to make sexual advances at her or to deem that okay. And I kind of want to touch on that and get you guys' views on, you know, the way a woman dresses does not define her. And yeah, I'm very passionate about it too, because it's a very large misconception in society that, oh, if I see a girl with some booty shorts or something, that means that she wanted. No.
Right. Yes.
Like, no, let her wear her booty shorts in peace.
Like, what I don't get is, do y'all know how hot it gets in the South?
Yeah.
It's like 90 degrees plus humidity down here. Mm-hmm. And in the summertime, if I want to wear shorts, you know what I'm saying? That doesn't mean I'm asking for anything. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's just really hot. Right. And don't get me wrong. Like, I understand where some of the arguments that I saw on like Instagram and Twitter were like, okay, well, if you wear certain things, mm-hmm. like they bring certain attention. And I understand that factor coming from mm-hmm. like, okay, even when people wear designer. Mm-hmm. If you see a dude or a woman walk in with a nice designer bag or a nice designer jacket, some shoes, something, you're going to pay attention. You know what I'm saying? So don't mm-hmm. get me wrong. I understand the attention part. Mm-hmm. But after, like, okay, say you make that advance and mm-hmm. they don't want your attention.
Right.
That's where it should stop. Like, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Right. It doesn't constitute you like being aggressive because right. you know you've given me that attention. Like, just because I might have wanted attention because of what I had on doesn't mean I want your attention. Mm-hmm. But like, you got to stop once right. I say no. Like, it's just really like a cut solid line. Like, no means no. No.
And that kind of piggyback off that, like, they were talking about the girl in Opera Nightclub, and they were talking about how, you know, she had participated
in the twerk on the stage
contest, mm-hmm. and they were also, you know, talking about what she wore, and I'm just like, well, what did okay. y'all expect her to wear? She's going to a nightclub. Most women wear dresses or, you know, something that's, you know, kind of revealing
showing up their figure.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But as I said earlier, like, my clothes don't speak for me. Mm-hmm. My body does not speak for me. My voice does. So if I'm able to tell you no, I'm gonna tell you no. And even then, yes, if I didn't even say yes, like, that means I didn't consent. Like, people got to stop assuming silence because someone don't. Consent. Yeah, silence means consent. That is not, that's not true. If anything, silence means no.
Silence means, like, I'm trying to, like, sometimes, like, I'm very awkward. Mm-hmm. So, like, I might do, like, for example, like, one day I was, some guy like, I had met, this, I went to the club. Some guy was, like, you know, like, asking me to dance. I'm like, no, I'm okay. Like, you know, kind of being awkward, laughing. So then he starts some, come on, like, come dance. I'm going to start throwing some ones. I'm like, no, oh. I'm okay. Like, right. still doing my awkward laugh, but I'm really, like, getting offended. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm right. trying to be nice and not overreact. Because mm-hmm. I think that's a lot of women's problem. Mm-hmm. We try not to overreact because a lot of things we see in the media, we mm-hmm. don't want to be the ones that look like we just overreact and then being aggressive.
Yeah.
So we'll try and, like, you know, no, I'm okay. Like, try yeah. and, like, rub things, like, play things off kind of. And I think that sometimes backfires on us because people think, well, she was laughing. She was right. smiling. She wasn't really being, like, mean. Like, no, we're trying not to, like, basically anger the lion, I feel like. Right. You know, you don't want to anger the lion when you see he's, like, coming towards you. Right. Like,
that's so. Exactly. That's a very good, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, comparison. So, yeah, I agree because even then, like, telling them, we got to be careful with consent because even simply telling them no can make them angry. And, you know, mm-hmm. that can, you know, cause them to want to rape that person, so.
Yeah. Or start an argument. Men yeah. take, not men, people take, I keep saying men, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm just speaking from personal experience, but yeah. people take rejection really badly. Mm-hmm. Like, really mm-hmm. badly. Like, I've known, I've gotten into arguments with people at the club because I'm like, no, thank you. And they think I'm just acting stuck up or bougie. Like, no, I just don't want to be bothered. Right. Like, you know, mm-hmm. like one time I was, my friend, we was coming from the club. I go to the club a lot, so I got a lot of club stories, y'all. I went to the club one night. My friend drank a little too much. So on the way back home, because we live like right outside of Atlanta, like on the south side. So I told her, like, okay, on the way back home, like, you know, if you need to throw up, let me know so I can pull over. We can go to the gas station, get you some water. So she tells me she needs to throw up. We pull over. She throws up. I go into the gas station, get her some water to, like, you know, help her feel better. My dad always tells me, don't go to the gas station at night. That's when all the creepy right. guys are out.
That's very yeah. true.
That's when all the creepy people are out. Seriously. Mm-hmm. So it's like 2 or 3 in the morning. We stop at the gas station. I go in. So I look out. Some guy is tapping at my car window trying to talk to my friend. And you can tell she's sick.
Right.
And she's saying, no, thank you. No, thank you. He's still tapping. Then he comes into the gas station and starts asking me, like, is that your girlfriend out there? I'm like, look, bro, I'm just trying to get my water and go. Like, yeah, you know, I'm just trying to get my water and go. I don't want no problems. Right. So I don't want no questions. Like, you know, we just. And that's where the ignoring part comes in a lot. Because it's like people ask you stupid stuff, trying to start conversations just to, like, reel you in.
Yeah.
Like, a predators would do that. Mm-hmm. So it's like you really have to be careful as a man and a woman and, like, notice red flags and notice when somebody is kind of off or when they're just trying to start a conversation just to see where you headed or get little details about what you have going on so they can better, like, you know, attack you or assault you.
That even happened part where they'll, like, try to start conversation with you. When I was in Dominican Republic back in December, I was walking home with another student from UA because we're on a school trip. And, like, this man, like, stopped to talk to us. And, you know, we were being friendly because, like, the town we were in, they don't meet Americans often. So we were like, okay, you know, it's no harm. And I never felt, like, unsafe while I was over there. Like, not once did I feel uncomfortable. But he was just trying to have small talk and stuff. So we were just talking. He was like, where are y'all from and stuff? We were telling him. And then he was like, oh, so where are y'all staying while y'all here? Because the town we were in, we had host families since there's no hotel there. Like, the nearest hotel was, like, in a few cities over. So we were with host families. He was like, oh, which house are y'all staying in? And we're like,
creepy.
What?
Out of pocket.
Right. And then it's crazy because people there, like, their town is deemed, like, so safe to them. A lot of people, you can walk in and out their houses. Like, they always have their doors unlocked. And even the house we were staying in, a lot of times the door was unlocked. They usually locked it at night, but I think because he knows that the town is, the doors are usually unlocked at people's homes and stuff, I guess maybe he had an idea, you know, to try something. I'm not going to assume, but there was a possibility, you know, he could have tried something because he know most of the time people leave their doors unlocked. So,
but yeah, back to kind of what Deja was saying about the clothes thing. I don't want to overshadow that point because it is a huge point that my clothes, like, okay, in the picture that the dude had that he posted, I can't kind of remember what he said in his caption, but he was just like,
he was basically saying that, like, what are you dressed for? Like, you want us to look at you as a lady, but you don't look like a lady. What are you trying to be, a librarian or whatever? Just kind of like,
and what kills
being kind of
sinning. The post was stolen. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
the post was stolen from Facebook. Like, it was multiple people were posting it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even just this dude. I just happened to see it on his page. Like, it was multiple people were posting this with this caption as if, like, you know, if you dress like this, nobody's going to think you want to be a librarian or a doctor or anything like that.
So,
but,
like,
people don't understand, like, I'm not going to work like this.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't want you to look at me, but, oh, she's a doctor.
Yeah,
like, you know what I'm saying? I should never be dressed like that at the club.
Yeah.
So honestly, I would never want anybody to think that. Like,
and they kind of just say, like, well, if you don't treat yourself with respect, why do you expect us to treat you with respect? So me, I guess, wearing an outfit that to you is revealing is me not respecting myself. So you deem that unworthy of respect. That's what gets me, is that, I mean, I should have your respect automatically because I'm a woman, first of all. I'm a person, but I'm a woman.
Right.
So you should automatically respect me. And so just because I choose to wear what I choose to wear does not mean that I'm unworthy of your respect and that you have the okay to approach me on some wild stuff. And that it bothers me because, like, it's really an epidemic because so many men agreed with him that it was scary to me and it really bothered me that so many people agreed with that. Like, men our age, young college students, like early 20s, agreeing with that. I just want to, like, just to iterate that that's not okay.
Right.
It feeds into rape culture as well.
It does. Yeah. It's very rapey.
One thing I saw, this guy, he had tweeted, and he was like, I'm not condoning rape, but if you dress like this, you're asking for it.
If I didn't verbally ask you to have
sexual relations,
like, that's my fetish or something.
Or I didn't ask you to be aggressive with me or sexually assault me, I'm not asking for it. And at the end of the day, you are condoning rape because the fact that you put a butt behind "I'm not condoning rape" is condoning rape.
Yes,
it should be period. I don't condone rape,
but
and leave it at that. You know.
And something else I was also thinking about, like, this stems from, like, the over-sexualization of female bodies. Like, I'm kind of taking it back to my African-American studies class, y'all, but it's very important because since like, as far as I can remember, women were seen as only good enough to make babies and to mate with. So, I mean, that ideology has transformed into what we see today as though she's only good for what I can get from her, which may be a kid, sex, or whatever. So I feel like when you see a woman who's just like that, you automatically going to think that I want to, you know, do this with her. I don't see her as a woman. I see her as a mate.
An object, you know?
You know?
And so to piggyback off that, like, the whole breastfeeding in public thing. So I was, I was reading these tweets, and this woman was breastfeeding in public, and, like, she posted a picture of herself breastfeeding in public because she's trying to normalize breastfeeding in public. Mm-hmm. And these guys were like, what are you doing? Why do you have your boobs out in public and stuff? And my whole thing is, like, personally, myself, I wouldn't just pop my boob out, but I still, I would breastfeed in public. Obviously, I would have the baby covered. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, still, regardless whether she wanted to cover her baby or not, breasts weren't meant to be sexual objects. Right. Like, they were purposely meant to breastfeed children. Yeah. Like, that's why God gave us breasts. So, to, you know, say, like, why do you have your boobs? Why are you sexualizing breastfeeding? Like, why? And then another thing, you know, they sexualize us from since we're younger. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, we're, you know, deemed as fast.
Yeah, fast. We can't wear red lipstick. Mm-hmm. Why does she have nail polish on at 5 years old? Why is that little girl in a two-piece? And I'm just like,
the red lipstick thing always got me because, y'all, I used to love red lipstick in my middle school. Yeah. And I have, like, the biggest lips in the world. So I would always get, like, you know, you got on red lipstick. Right. You know, you like a, like, you were, like, you work on the street. Like, even exactly. I had a boyfriend at the time who even told me, like, no, you need to stop wearing this red lipstick. Like, I'm not.
Why, though? Right. And, like, I'm just like, why are y'all sexualizing children, for one?
And that's a sensitive topic as well because a lot of, so many people who have experienced rape as children were small children.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So many small girls ages 3 to 6, 3 to 7. Like, you're sick.
Yeah, man, too.
You know, and it's sad that we kind of don't get the chance to be little girls like that because we're always going to be looked at
being a little bit, you know, older than what we really are.
Because a lot of times we don't even know what's going on.
Right.
You know? And it's like, speaking from personal experience, like, that's why I'm very adamant about it, is because, so, like, the culture is just so construed and just so, as to where you can look at a child and even
think
want
it's okay.
To,
like, yeah.
Think you have that urge. You need, like, something is wrong with you. You need help.
Right? And even, I don't know if y'all have been seeing, but people have been trying to normalize, like attraction to kids, like, they call it pedophilia or something like that.
Yeah,
I'm like, whoa, wait a minute now. We can't let this. We cannot let this pass. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It's
like,
sick.
I understand preferences, but that's just wrong. Yeah, that's a whole different ball game. That's just sick. Like, I watched the R. Kelly's document. Kelly documentaries on Lifetime, and allegedly, you know, R. Kelly was sexually assaulted as
a child.
And I think that kind of, like, breeds monsters too.
Yeah.
Especially, like, if you've never been, like, if you've never gotten the help you really need from traumatizing situations, like, you are a product of the things that you go through as a child, even as a young
especially
adult.
You don't deal with it.
And the psychologist they had on the documentary, he touched on the fact that he says one of the reasons probably why R. Kelly has become this monster is because victims get tired of being victims, and instead of, they feel like, well, maybe if I become the perpetrator, obviously in their head they're not the perpetrator, but maybe if I become the perpetrator, I won't be victimized anymore. And so, unfortunately, it seems like the R. Kelly situation was a product of a bunch of failed systems, like, because he wasn't protected. He was allegedly raped. He wasn't protected as a child. And now, you know, because he had to experience all that, he's channeling that anger and he's putting it into these other people's lives. So,
like, one thing that stood out to me in the series was the fact that those young girls knew about other young girls.
Mm-hmm.
And even one of the girls, I actually read one of one of the girls allegedly wrote a book. I don't know if it was her or not because it was from, like, an anonymous anonymous writer, mm-hmm. but you can tell it was somebody who had experience, like, you know, dealing with R. Kelly, mm-hmm. allegedly. But from the things that she described in the book, she knew the entire time from the start to the finish, like, there were other women, mm-hmm. other young girls being involved also. Right. And not even just other young women being involved, like, involved. She sat there in the trial. One of the girls sat there at his trial dates, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying, and listened to him try and say, like, oh, these things are not true. This isn't who I am. That's not me. And then he went and hit on her right after his trial was over. So it's like, does it not register to you somewhere in there that, oh, he was lying. Mm-hmm. Like, he was in here lying on, like, on the stand mm-hmm. lying.
I think what that goes back into, like, manipulation and stuff, because, like, even I've at my age, like, well, not my age, but, like, as my teenage years, I've been manipulated before. So to a grown man who's, like, you know, in his 20s, and these are young girls that's, like, 13, not 13, but, like, 14 and up, that's what most of the victims were. It's easy to manipulate victims of that age, you know. We're so, you know, gullible and vulnerable at ages like that. And then a lot of the women, too, they say that, you know, they were trying to be stars and stuff. And R. Mm-hmm. Kelly was like, I can make you a star. And then another thing, too, because he was acquitted of most of his charges, people look kinda at that, like, and say, oh, he must have been innocent then.
Right. Under the rug.
And so I think the girl who went to his court thing, she was saying, well, you know, he was acquitted of his charges. So I automatically thought, oh, these girls must have lied, or, you know, he's innocent. And because someone is acquitted of charges, that doesn't make them innocent. There are so many, like, victims who don't get justice. Like, there's so many rapists who's been, arrested and stuff, and, you know, charges gets dropped, or, you know, they're found not guilty. And so, you know, and I even see that on, I mean, this is a, you know, a fake show, Law and Order SVU, but, like, you even see that on there, like,
some of those people don't get arrested.
Yeah,
like,
some
they get
of those
away
people don't get arrested and get away with it, or some of these people are found not guilty of all charges. But, you know, you saw earlier in the show, like, they did rape the girl, and so, or the woman, you know, and so
did commit those crimes.
Yeah, the woman did commit those crimes. So, you know.
One thing I also wanted to, hold on, you mind, could I kind of, like, stop for a minute and kind of collect my thoughts? Okay. So we're about to take a break for a quick second, and you're listening to WVUA 90.7 The Capsule.